urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's September 8th. Could you believe it? 2025. Where did this summer go? Where did the summer months go? But today is the birthday of our Blessed Mother. How special. So be sure to sing happy birthday to her tonight. Before you go to bed, just say, happy birthday, Blessed Mother. And maybe you can offer her a very special prayer tonight. And thanksgiving for all that has happened in your life and all that will happen. And so today we thank the Blessed Mother for being with us on this radio network in a very special way. But also, guess what? Today is the first day we also get to celebrate our own St. Carlo Acutis. Can you believe it? Our own, I say our own because his word, his message, his testimonies have been shared on this network for possibly 2 years. And so I am so excited to know that we have this special saint in heaven interceding for us, and that if you have younger children or grandchildren, we're also thanking God for this special time with Carlo Acutis. And I'm just understanding that we're not on the air again. So, Frank, it's not being heard on the air. I just wanted to let you know that I just received word that it's not going out live over WTMR. So please let me know when we're live on the air. I would appreciate it. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep on going because Carlo Acutis stated that Jesus makes us originals, not photocopies. And this radio network certainly is an original. It is not a photocopy. And so Jesus is asking all of us today to become originals, not photocopies. And it's very important for us to really meditate upon this. Remember, he died on the cross, not just for all of humanity, but for you, you who are listening today. You, yes, you. It just happened to be one person in the world. He came to save you. So as Carlo stated that Jesus said, He makes us originals, not photocopies. So I rejoice in some of the statements that are coming out from Carlos's background, and I would like to be sharing them with you over the next couple months. But let us pray. Let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for world peace right now. The world is in such disarray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your peace to all ends of the earth today, to all divisions, that they would be healed. We pray for peace in our hearts, peace in our families, in our churches, in our neighborhoods. God has a plan for your life. Believe it, know it, and thank Him in advance. And let us pray a Hail Mary for our Blessed Mother's birthday today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, it has been a busy week, of course, in our church, but I wanted to share a story with you, our special listeners. This past weekend, I had a knock on my door, someone I know, who occasionally, we have a small home and a small patch of grass. And because my husband and I have a hard time mowing the lawn anymore, this person helps us to cut the grass. And we're so grateful for this person. And he knocked on the door and he said that his wife was in a rush back to a rehab nursing home and that she had been given some time at home, probably 24 hours. They brought her back home and she couldn't walk and she couldn't move. And so they had to bring her back to this nursing home. And he turned to me and he said, I was thinking of killing myself today. and I froze on the front step because I'm thinking of the story of Frank, who I know isn't listening, but perhaps some of the listeners from the Tuesday program with Kathleen know the story of Frank, but I froze. You were thinking of killing yourself? And he said, yes, I had the medicine lined up. I was thinking of killing myself because my wife is going to need long-term care and we can't afford it. And so I listened again. He was about 20 feet away. And I was on a step or a stoop, as you would say in Philadelphia. And I said, why would you want to kill yourself? And he said, well, I have no reason to live. And I stopped and I closed my eyes and said, Jesus, what is it that you want me to say to him? And I said, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And he responded, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have a plan for me. I said, yes, he does. He has a plan for you. And I just stood there in silence, knowing that God was about a mighty business at that moment. Because it was so unexpected, and probably 34 years ago, I used to work with a youth group, a large youth group, in the evenings, a prayer group. And quite often we would have young teenagers say this, and we would pray with them, and they would be okay. But this was a grown man who happened to be desolate in terms of his spirituality and who thought his life was over because of his wife needing long-term care, and he didn't know if any long-term care facilities would be open for her. But the thing that really struck me is that without her, he felt he didn't have a life worth living. And he really didn't care if God had a plan for him. Those words did not sink into his heart or his soul. And I knew that there was this giant wall between us and that the Lord wanted to use me, even in a minor way, to touch this man. And so I said a few private words to him, and then he said he was going to leave and go on his way. And I said, let me know, please, how she's doing and if she does get placed in long-term care and how you're doing. And then he shared that his stepson had committed suicide and a few other things that had happened in his life. And I knew that he had a suitcase full of woes, a suitcase full of heartache, and he had a suitcase full of despair. So no words could actually appease or comfort him outside of God has a plan for you and your wife, which meant zero to him. And it may mean zero to someone who's listening today, who may be contemplating suicide as well. All I could offer and everything I could offer was Jesus. My prayers, my belief that Jesus has a plan for this man. And meditating upon that as he pulled away, I believe that Jesus, he didn't speak, but sensing it in my heart was that's enough for now. That's enough. We're all this commotion in the media about prayer is not enough, we need action. Of course we need action, but prayer is so powerful. And I've seen it over and over in my own personal life. But to be confronted early in the morning with this surprise of a man wanting to take his life, now he did not take his life, and my prayer has been for his wife to be placed in a really good long-term care facility, and that he would find meaning in his life, visiting her or building up his faith with his own local pastor. He isn't Catholic, and he certainly, we have spoken, he visited me when I had two broken legs, and one was rebuilt, and I was in a hospital bed in my home, and he stepped into our home and sat with me for a little bit, and he was empowered when I said, I will walk, and I believe in the power of prayer. And God is using this for a mighty task, of which I don't know, but I'm going to continue to pray. And I remember him smiling and thinking, that's okay. Okay, I believe that. If you believe that, I believe that. And so I'm calling on all of you, our listeners, to pray for this special man. And I'm just going to say the first letter of his first name is C. C. We're going to pray for C and his wife, that he will find meaning in his life, that the Lord will speak to him and comfort him and know that he has greater meaning in his life. He said to me that he works all the time, that that's all he does is work, and he never really has any fun, and that he takes care of his wife because she's been so ill for years. And I knew that he represents so many people that are listening today, because when I broke my legs and I was operated on in one hospital, transferred to an inpatient rehab for a couple weeks, and then inpatient in my own home, I saw people who were desolate, who had no hope, no despair. I mean, no hope and were full of despair, no family support, no advocates. There's a whole population. And here, standing on my front doorstep, was a man who was, he had to be reaching out, knowing that I believed in the power of prayer. So we are praying for him. We are praying for his wife. And I ask, I share this story today because I believe someone is listening that needs to know that God does indeed have a plan. We can't see it. And trust me, I've been to the edge where I didn't know that either. I didn't truly believe that God had a plan for my life, but he did. So oftentimes it's important for us to step our toe into the water, not knowing if our foot is ready to go into the water or to be cleansed, but it's just that initial first step that God is asking all of us today. So I am so thankful that we have so many beautiful sacraments in our church, and sacramentals, and now saints. So in praying about today's program, I wanted to share that story about C with all of you. And to know that God's will for us is to go to heaven. And this is the message that I heard Carlo's mother, and I had a great opportunity of meeting her at Malvern Retreat House when they dedicated the shrine to Carlo. My husband and I had pictures with her. I shared a lot with Mary B. D'Amico, who is very close to Carlo's mother. But over and over again, I hear that God's will for us is to go to heaven. Now, we know that, but sometimes we need to just hear that. And when's the last time you heard that from anyone? God is not out to get us. He's not out to get us. He wants to love us forever, and he wants us to live with him and enjoy eternal life. And this is what God desires, my friends. This is why he created you and me. And once we realize this is the ultimate will of God, everything flows from this reality. Now, tonight, I want you to write this down. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. God has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of any merit of ours, but according to his own design, the grace held out to us in Christ Jesus, before the world began. To be saved means to go to heaven, ultimately, doesn't it? This is God's general plan for everybody. Everybody. And at the canonization ceremony yesterday of Blessed Carlo, who is now St. Carlo, and St. Frassata, just listening to the gospel and the words of the families and the things that they did really touched my heart in a very special way. Because right now, we need to make a decision to desire God's will in our lives. Right now, not tonight, not tomorrow, now, this moment. Before we start to talk about the particular will of God for our lives, you who are listening today, we need to look at the general will of God. As we've stressed over the months and years that we're together on the air, The general will of God is that we're saved, that we go to heaven, and that we become holy. Everything else is going to be secondary. Now, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God tells us he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. God wants everyone, all of you who are listening, in heaven with him. And that includes you. And that includes the man C, who said he didn't want to live, who wanted to take his life. Well, why do we always mess this up? We do because we go against the will of God. We don't cooperate with God's will for our lives. And that's, my friend, is the point, intersection of the perfect storm. You see, when we go against the will of God, we kill ourselves spiritually. And this is what happened to C. It's an act of self-destruction. Now, because God loves you, me, and everyone listening, we do not have to be afraid. We talk about the fear of the Lord as being the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of God is a terror. It's all. A-W-E, exclamation point. And now remember that John says when there's fear, love has not yet been perfected. So C wanted to take his life out of fear of being alone without his wife in long-term care. The grief process is quite natural, but he was scared of being alone. Now, where there's fear, love has not yet been perfected. And that's from 1 John 4, verse 18. When we're in love, it casts away all fear. So when we're talking about God, we're talking about wanting to be one with him, aren't we? We're talking about trusting him and trusting that he loves us, trusting that he actually loves us. No matter where you are, no matter what your state is right now, God wants you with him in heaven. He wants your will and his will to be aligned. Now, let us make one thing clear today. We're not talking about salvation as it comes only from what we do. It comes by cooperating with what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're saved by grace, period. But we've got to cooperate with this grace. In my life, I've heard people say, oh, I'm saved, I'm saved. Are you saved? They think of one act of Jesus, I accept you into my life, and then they go and murder somebody or do something horrible is okay because they're saved. That's not true. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are saved. But when we surrender to God, we can grow in his holiness. Now, holiness is who we are, not what we do. Isn't that a wake-up call? And I want you to apply that. If you can, look up the life of Carlo Acutis. Holiness is who we are. It's not what we do. Now, this is so, so important for us to understand. We're holy because of our baptism, because we've been set apart for God, because God dwells in us, not because we're good people. This is found, of course, in the teaching of the church. The old Baltimore Catechism. Do you remember that? Those of you who are Catholic who are listening, why did God make you? The answer, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. God created us to be happy forever with him in heaven. This is the meaning of your life, if you're listening today. This is the meaning of C's life, who said he didn't want to live anymore. Now, it's the goal of all the saints. It was the goal of Carlo Acutis. And now it was the goal of the little flower. She had a great desire for sanctity, as did Carlo Acutis. She wanted to be a saint. It has to be our goal, my friends. This cannot be the end in itself. The main reason we want to become saints is to please God the Father and to be with him forever in heaven, not just to avoid hell and be happy forever. Sanctity or holiness is a byproduct of love. It's not an end in itself. People who stay focused on their own lives, always concentrating on whether they did something good or bad, drive all of us crazy. Get over yourself. It isn't about you. If I need to say that a billion times, I will. Now, Father Larry Richards gave a retreat maybe 6-7 years ago for men that I participated in putting together. And I remember he said this over and over again to the men in the retreat. Get over yourself. Life is not about you. If I need to say that a billion times, he said, I will, and he did say it. Learn it, know it, live it. Christianity isn't the focus on self. Now, we all have read self-help books. Oh, we're all into those self-help books. Well, the best self-help book is the Bible. Christianity isn't the focus on will. It's the forgetfulness of self. And this is what Carlo did. It's a surrender of love to God the Father. Now, when you and I fully surrender, that's when we become holier. And when you and I focus on our own little acts of holiness or acts of sin, we become Pharisees, don't we? Remember, the Pharisees did everything right, everything. They not only didn't break the Ten Commandments, they didn't even break the 700 commandments of Leviticus, but they could still be in hell. What? Why? They didn't break any commandments. It's because it was all about them, how they were going to earn holiness, how they were going to earn heaven. This is a lie. This is a lie. This isn't grace. This is not love. This is not God's will. So think about this question. I want you to think really hard about this question. Why do I want to go to heaven? Why do I want to go to heaven? Is it because you're afraid of hell? If that's the only reason, that's selfishness, my friend. It's saying, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll go to heaven. Now, if this is the case, then our whole life of Christianity is focusing on that reality. Now, stop and think about that. Really be honest with yourself. Can you do that today? You can be holy and still be real. And this is what Carlo Acutis practiced. He was on a computer. He was out playing soccer. He played games with his friends. And if you watch this beautiful documentary that's on EWTN, it travels around the world interviewing his friends. It is magnificent. I highly recommend it. I believe it's called Who Am I? It's on EWTN. You'll learn this. He was very real. He was very real. It's a very big thing for us to be real, isn't it? Now, teenagers, they think, holy, oh, if I'm holy, I can't be real. I want to be real. I want to have fun with my life. Sometimes people think that they have to act all holy and use holy talk. Does that sound familiar? To be a saint. Now, most of the time, we think it's the exact opposite. Look at St. Padre Pio. In spite of having the stigmata, the ability to bilocate. Now, bilocate means to be two places at once. And the ability to read souls. He had good moods and bad moods. Did you know that? When he was told that Rome had barred him from hearing confessions and saying mass in public, he went to his room and cried. I know I've shared this with you before, but I found this to be fascinating. Carlo cried a lot, according to his mother. He cried for the poor. It is he who makes us holy, not us who make ourselves holy. The key to holiness is daily surrender in our prayers. We need to have a longing for God's will in spite of our own sinfulness. Now, maybe our sinfulness is gluttony. just eating too much. It may be gambling. It may be looking at our iPad or our phone all day long and not really communicating and participating in living, but living through a phone, a TV, or an iPad. Father James Blunt, in his retreat at Malvern 2 weeks ago, described how phones and iPads and these video games are taking us away from our relationship with the Lord and how dangerous they are for our children and our grandchildren. When Paul was writing many of his letters, he called the whole church the saints of God. Now, do you think that we have a church full of the saints of God? Yes, we do. You don't hear about them. We do have a church and churches full of the saints of God. We are the saints of God. We are not saints who have already made it, but we're saints in process. We're in a hospital for sinners. Pope Francis once said that we're a triage. The church is a triage for sinners. And we can add that sinners on their way to becoming saints. That's what we are. Now, this is my point today. We're all in different stages of the journey, but we've all got to be on the journey. We can't step off the journey. Or to make it a little better visually, we can't step off the train that's moving down the tracks and say, I'll catch up with you later. Carlo didn't do that. He didn't regret one moment of his life. He said that to his mother. He was diagnosed in 2006, at the age of 15. He only had 5 days to live with leukemia. And he didn't regret it. He told his mother, I've lived every moment of my life for the Lord. I've lived every moment. I haven't wasted a moment. Now, when I heard Antonio, his mother, share that, it made me reflect, wow, how much time have I wasted in my life, not in relationship with the Lord. I want you to answer that question. How much time have you wasted not being in relationship with the Lord? That's a profound question, isn't it? But he said it at the end of his life. And so his mother, she didn't grieve or weep. She knew, and he, by the way, appeared to her and said he would be beatified one day and canonized. He did. He appeared to her. Even though God wants us all to be in heaven, he still created hell. And why is this? Because if there's no choice, there's no love. Since God is God of love, there has to be a choice. What's your choice today? I want you to think about it. Have you wasted any part of your life with ridiculous things, with sin, gossip, sloth, gluttony, pornography? Have you wasted your life? I want you to put a mirror up to Carlo Acutis' life. Read some of his writings. They're so profound. It's the way we live our lives every day that says whether you and I love Christ or whether we're Christian atheist. Now, Father Larry Richards coined this term. What? How in the world can we be Christian atheist? If we love God, we're going to spend time with him and we're going to obey him. The only way you and I can prove that we love God is by being obedient. Now, as Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. But you can say all you want that you love God, but if you do not obey him, your very actions show you do not love him. Holiness, my dear listeners, is a process. So after the break, we'll come back. We have so much more to share, so stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Dan McGlynn. On Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. And we have so much to share, and I'm so happy to be with you today on the feast, the birthday of our Blessed Mother, and also celebrating the canonization of Carlo Acutis and Saint Frassati. So I'm so happy to be with you today. And we're talking about sainthood, and I was just sharing how profound a statement when Carlo Acutis' mother said that Carlo did not regret dying, that he couldn't wait to get to heaven, but also that he never wasted a moment of his life, never wasted a moment of his life. So that's a profound question for all of us, isn't it? How much time have we wasted on nonsense when the Lord wants us to be serving him or to be praying or to be charitable or to be praying for someone in intercessory prayer? Have we wasted, think about years or days or things that you do during the day that are wasted. Now, I'm not talking about taking a walk. That's not wasteful, or to exercising, or just wasteful things, gossip and hurting people, wasteful things. When we stand before the throne of God the Father, will he say to us, Joe, Mary, Jane, Ann, Linda, have you wasted 30% of your life? He wouldn't say percent, but you've wasted so many years when I could have used you or I wanted to love you. You wasted a lot. So prayer is the secret of all the saints, isn't it? Now, we know this now. Carlo Acutis, and I'm using him, and I could use many other saints. They were ordinary people. He was just an ordinary kid who loved, he actually spoke at a very young age, and he loved to visit the Holy Eucharist, the adoration, and he made his Holy Communion at age 7. He never missed receiving the Eucharist or going to adoration. He played soccer. He loved the computer. His mother said that he thought it was so sad that young people in the United States spend so much time with video games, and they were wasting their lives. So he was just an ordinary guy. Ordinary people who, with all their hearts, strove to seek and live the will of God in their lives. And when you look at some of the statues of the saints, they look perfect, don't they? But saints are not statues. They have good days, and they had bad days, like Padre Pio. They liked people and didn't like people, and they had ups and downs like all of us, but they kept going. They did not look at themselves, and they looked at God and sought his will all the time. They defined holiness as when God's will and our will become one. Now, the number one goal I want all of you to remember in life must be to live God's will. We must be like the saints, like Carlo, and look at Jesus and his grace and not us and our weakness. God calls you. If you're listening today, God is calling you and me in the same way to live his will in our own personalities. Now, Maybe you don't play soccer. Maybe you don't like computers. And maybe you really can't get to church. Maybe you're disabled in a nursing home, or you're in a prison, or you're imprisoned emotionally and spiritually. God will work with us according to our personalities. He will work with us. We need to be people of great hope. Carlo was always filled with hope. He asked his mother to get sleeping bags to take out to the homeless. And he would go out to the streets and feed the poor, care what faith they were. In fact, at his funeral, there are many Hindus and Muslims and people of all denominations, and the homeless filled the church. Did you know that? Antonio, his mother, says that. We need to be people who, no matter how crazy life gets, and it is crazy, isn't it? No matter how bad it gets, know that God is bigger than everything. Oh, yeah, he's bigger than everything. And the world is not our home. It's not our home. We do not need to be afraid. All I hear about is fear, fear, fear these days. Fear. We don't have to be afraid of the wars around us or when the world is going to end or the next president of the United States or the next president of France. We don't need to be afraid. We need to make our journey not our home. Heaven is our home. God is God, and he loves us. He loves you, you who are listening today. And we're going to live with him forever, no matter how bad it gets on this earth. Our job is to bring the light of Christ to the darkness, to bring the light of the kingdom, and to shine the light of salvation to everybody. And this includes the gentleman who showed up on my doorstep this past weekend saying he was going to kill himself because he had to commit his wife to long-term care. He was afraid of being alone. He was afraid of everything, the money, of the world, of his life, of loneliness. Fear enveloped him, and he certainly didn't want to hear that God had a plan or has a plan for his life. And he is, by the way, alive today. Some people think, I can't be holy. It's beyond me. No, it isn't. And God not only calls you to holiness, he gives you all the tools to become holy. And God doesn't want us to be holy and then say to us, hey, good luck with that, buddy. Good luck. Good luck in your journey to get holy. When you and I surrender in prayer and love, that's when we experience holiness. The vehicle of the holiness of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us his gifts and gives us his fruits to grow in holiness. But my friends, we have to use these gifts. If you have great ability to be a football player or a basketball player, you have to practice every day, right? Now, the gift has been given to you, but you have to work with it. It doesn't drop down from heaven and all of a sudden you're a fantastic basketball player or football player or artist or a great intercessor. You have to practice prayer. You have to cooperate with it. And same with the gift of holiness. Now, God gives you, you who are listening, the gift, but now you have to grow in it. He gives it to you. He's handing you a beautiful jewelry box. The gifts are in it, but you have to make the decision to open that. Carlo did that. Carlo did that. He made the decision to make his life one of holiness and to document Eucharistic miracles around the world at a very young age when people could care less about Eucharistic miracles. He made the decision, as young as he was, to do this. When we surrender to God's will, we become an instrument of his will. It's like when we pray the St. Francis prayer. By the way, he's buried in Assisi, and he had a great love for St. Francis. Make me an instrument of your peace. You cannot be an instrument of peace to anybody unless peace goes through you first. You have to have peace first, my friends, before you can give it to somebody else. The same thing is true with surrendering to God's will. Now, when we surrender to God's will and live in it in our lives, we begin to experience heaven on earth. What? We can experience heaven on earth in the midst of this turmoil in our society, in our lives, in our personal life? We can experience heaven on earth. We can say, you will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the name of the show. Thy will be done. It's named for this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So surrender and go to heaven. Surrender and go to heaven. That's what Carlo did. That's what he led his mother and father, his twin brother and sister to. By the way, as a caveat, his twin brother and sister were born on the day he died. Yes, they were born on his birthday. And you may have seen them during the mass yesterday, the young brother and the twin sister, and Carlo's mom and dad. What a gift to have your mother and father and your little sister and brother at your canonization. Have you stopped to realize this has never happened in the history of the church? Never happened. Now, the only commandment Jesus Christ ever gave any of us, and even Carla, was the commandment of love. It was the commandment of love, and this is what he did. He didn't have some formula, some theology degree. He lived out love and charity. He lived out holiness because it exposes how we deal with others. And he dealt with others by bringing food to the homeless, by bringing sleeping bags, by singing. Did you know that he loved to sing? Holiness is not the focus on self, but the focus on others, my friend. And this is the life example we have in St. Carlo of Assisi. Our job as Christians is to get out of the way and let Christ love through us. Now, can you do that? Can you let Christ love you and love through you? That's the hardest part of being a Christian, isn't it? Now, somehow we always get in the way of Christ. And the biggest temptation is to let our own ego get in front of everything else. And some people think being a loving person means we're always nice. I've fallen into that growing up. Well, if you're a loving person, you're always nice. If you think that, read the scripture. Christ was not always nice. Remember, he once called a woman a dog in Mark 7:27. In his humanity, Jesus had bad days like everybody else. He had bad days like you. Sometimes love is hard, isn't it? It's just plain hard. And this is why it's so important to read the lives of the saints. How did they live through these hard times? They had bad news, good news. They sinned. What happened? Read it. You can read as many articles as you want on social media, but if you turn to reading the lives of different saints, you will learn so much. Read the book by Carlo's mother, Antonia. It's beautiful. It's filled with so much to give us hope. And we have to be careful, my friends, when we talk about living a life of love and service. Now, love means that you do what's best for people to get them into heaven. That's what love is. Jesus did what he did for the love of us to get us into heaven. And that really means he had to die for us, doesn't it? And when you're going to love people, when you're going to die for others and put them in front of yourself, then your attitude is that of Christ. He accepted even death, death on the cross. Padre Pio is a perfect example of this. He would sometimes tell a person, no, you're not ready. Get out of confession. Whoa, can you imagine? I actually remember in my childhood some priest doing that. Did he hate those people when he said, get out? No. He loved them. He warned them to go to heaven. He wanted them to go to heaven, rather. So he had to do things to stop them, to get them to see the reality of what they were doing. Now, sometimes love is like that, isn't it? But love always entails giving your life for others. And this is what Carlo did. He gave his life for others. This was the key to his happiness. When we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to do it whether we feel like it or not. Yeah, whether we feel like it or not. And as the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. I remember hearing that growing up. The road to hell is paved by good intentions, and we need to do whatever God asks. It's as simple as that. Are you going to do God's will even if you don't want to? Answer that in your car, at your desk, ride your bike, in your kitchen. Are you going to do God's will even if you don't want to? That's the real question, isn't it? Now, I know there's a lot of preachers today. If you turn on the TV or YouTube, you're going to hear so many different preachers. Too many preachers preach that God just wants to bless us. I call them the prosperity preacher and have us to be happy on earth. But God loved his son more than anyone or anything. And if he asked his son to deny himself for others, how much more will he ask of us, of you? Being a Christian or a disciple of Jesus is not about getting what we want. Surprise. It's about doing what God wants. It's not about what we feel. It's about doing what he wants. Being a Christian has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with action. 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 Now, do you remember the story I shared about the little flower, the life of St. Therese, the little flower? She couldn't stand someone in her community. She couldn't stand them. Can you imagine a saint who didn't like someone? Every time this other sister walked in, St. Therese would sit there and think, oh, but then she would go out of her way. She would go against her feelings, to treat this sister with great love and compassion and to do nice things for her. She couldn't stand her. This is the little flower. And one day the sister came up to her and asked, why do you always smile at me? Why are you always so kind, even when I treat you badly? Now, I highly recommend you read her autobiography, The Story of a Soul. It's all in there. Now, some people would say, that's hypocrisy. I'm sure I have listeners right now saying, that's hypocrisy, Anne. Other people would say that the little flower was laying down her life for someone else. She died to her feelings to be an instrument of God to somebody else. Now, the reality is there are some people that seem impossible to love. Now, I want you to make a list of those people tonight. What list of people do you have that are impossible to love? Maybe it's your employer. Maybe it's a member of your family. At the end of our lives, friends, we're going to be judged by how we have loved or failed to love. This is the ultimate test. How we dealt with the least of our brothers and sisters, the people we can't stand. Not, oh, by the way, you loved 400,000 people who loved you. No, did you love the people you couldn't stand? That's what Carlo did. One of our modern day soon-to-be saints, Dorothy Day, and I would love to, I did a series of programs on her years ago, and I'm going to do it again. She said, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. I wrote that down. Think about this. I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. This is just another way of saying what Jesus tells us. We love God so much as the person as we love the least. So think about the person you just can't stand today. I want you to think about that person. Say their name out loud, if you can. Now, the person that hurt you, the person who rubs you the wrong way, do you have a clear image of them? Are you feeling all those negative feelings for them right now, even saying their name? That's how much you love God. Love is hard. It's not like we hear in all our modern love songs and stories and movies. Love begins when you're willing to lay down your life for the person on the bottom of your list, the one you can't stand. That is love. And St. John of the Cross said, where there is no love, put love. St. John of the Cross, where there is no love, put love. And then you'll find love. Where there is no love, put love. And then you will find love. St. John of the Cross did that. Very powerful, isn't it? And again, Carlo Acutis, if you study a lot of his life and what his mother has written about him, you will read these words. You want to start loving the people you can't stand. You want to love them. Because as Mother Teresa once wrote, and it's on a plaque, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. It's powerful, isn't it? Very, very powerful. If you're listening to this radio network, you want to be edified and build up and motivated. You want to stand tall. You want to become a saint. You want to go to heaven. You want to be a loving example to those you can't stand and those that can't stand you. What we have to do is take care of all the people who are on our list and make that list for you. But we also have to watch out for false humility. And you know what I mean. The person who says, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not worthy. I hear that so many times. I've heard it for 30 some years in ministry. Oh, I'm not worthy. That's false humility. Oh, I'm such a lowly worm. And they play this holy game. And there's a lot of false humility that makes itself into the church. People think they're holy if they have it. I think the exact opposite. When the Mother of God was asked to be the Mother of God, she didn't say, oh, I'm not worthy. You better pick someone else to be God's mother. She just said, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. Or to put it in modern language, oh, if this is what you want, then this is what I want. I want what you want. No false humility in the Blessed Mother, is there? Humility is truth. It's truth about who we are. And this is what Carlo practiced. This is what his mother is preaching around the world on his behalf. In knowing ourselves intimately, it's not a focus on ourselves. False humility, my friends, is always focused on self. And true humility is always focused on God and others. Now, we're not talking about hating yourself. We're talking about living your life for others. And you can't do that unless you love yourself. You can't do that, my friends, unless you love yourself. God has a plan for your life, as he does for C, the man who stood on my doorstep this weekend and said he wanted to kill himself because he was losing his wife, because he couldn't take care of her. God has a plan for him. He has a plan for you. Do you think your life is over? No matter how desperate you are, no matter what your condition, he has a plan for you. I'm going to pray this prayer that is written on the back of a prayer card of Carlo Acutis. It was touched to the relic, Carlos's hair. And I'm going to ask all of you to pray with me. Saint Carlo, smile of heaven, for this wounded and restless earth, we praise God for your simple, joyful, and holy life. You trusted in God's plan and accepted the gift of being stripped of your youth to dedicate yourself in heaven with joy, with Jesus and Mary, to a mission of boundless love. Resting with your mortal body where Saint Francis of Assisi renounced all earthly goods, you cry out with him to the world that Jesus is all our joy. a young man full of dreams, drawn to nature, sports, and the internet, but even more captivated by the miracle of Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist. Help us to believe that he is there, alive and real, a mystical highway leading to heaven. Teach us to contemplate him with Mary in the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Explain to us, Carlo, that beyond the fleeting fashions of this world, only Jesus, uniting us to himself, makes us originals, not photocopies, and truly sets us free. Obtain for us, Carlo, the grace to encounter him in every creature, but especially in the poor, so that humanity may become more just and fraternal, rich in beauty and hope, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer from the Center for Eucharistic Encounter, St. Carlo Acutis Shrine. These prayer cards and the relics and a special chapel are at Malvern Retreat House, and there is a special chapel for the Jubilee of the year if you visit it. It's a very special time. And my friends, I pray for all those who are listening today who are feeling like the man C who was on my doorstep this past weekend. I pray for all of you who are feeling despair and down and out and just feel like you can't make another moment. I pray for through the intercession of our Blessed Lady on her birthday, through the intercession of St. Carlo Acutis, all the angels and saints, that you would be blessed in your special intentions, and especially Jean and Patrick, who have asked for continued prayer. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are loved. God bless you.
Be alert, stand firm, trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.